cars. I guess you all drove one person to a car. Well, anyway, we're so glad you're here. It's a wonderful day. And we'd like you to stand with us while we sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ the King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing.
To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, best moment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Here we go.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
You may be seated. Mark, you want to give us the latest news?
Amen.
Mark, I can tell by what you just passed on. God is good.
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good. Okay.
Thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34.
Well, we're getting that pretty good. Okay.
All right. Continue praying for the Truby family.
Yep. Yes. So Grace Ann Truby, our sister, went home to be with the Lord. Receive her inheritance in Jesus Friday night. And so we don't have any plans on when we'll do a funeral or celebration of life, but stay posted. We'll get that information to you. So. Thank you for praying. Richard's doing okay. I checked on him last night, so stop by and say hi if you know him. Please, he could use a friend, I'm sure.
And then also, we got a everyday gospel Christmas devotional out here. Pick one of these up for free.
Yes, for the month of December, Paul David Tripp is a no-nonsense, really great, gospel writer and teacher. I've heard him a number of times, but he's got a great little devotional, and free of charge, so it's like, I like that. Yeah, you want to come to my office? Yeah, we're gonna have a discussion. So guys, if you want to hang out, we've got some things we want to talk about. Maybe things that aren't really too comfortable talking about in mixed company or, in a bigger group. So Monday night, 6:30. And my tops friends, I'm gonna probably have to leave a little early. That's okay. Yes, ma'am. That'll be like once a month, or however long, however many times we need it. So.
The Bible study is this Wednesday, 9:30 here at the church. Craft prayer.
Yes.
Afterwards, and then we have a raffle for
consist of?
That consists of putting up tables and making sure we have enough tables for all the vendors and tables for all of the church. And the church is going to have goodies and homemade crafts. And so we need to make sure we have enough of everything so that on Saturday our vendors just need to come in and set up their tables and be ready to go. So that's it. Anything else that I forgot, Russ?
We're just raising some money for mission work around the world. And so that's where these funds will go. We appreciate your donations and your help. Spaghetti, tuna. Thank you, Mark. Will you stand with me? We're going to do a little more singing.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to me. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and the rest, and when it sings of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that
Here we go.
Take time to be holy. Speak often with God. Find rest in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His word.
You can be seated.
Children can be dismissed to children's church. Yeah. Welcome. If you have prayer requests, we'll take those as we head to a time of worshiping the Lord through prayer. It's a vital aspect of our Christian lives, highlighted by this series of messages on Jesus Teaches How to Pray. Today we're going to be looking at the 10th installment of that, but since He's been teaching us to pray, we ought to do some praying, don't you think? Anybody have a request they'd like to be lifted up right now? Please, please, please. Dave?
That's giving me trouble. It's been that way for several weeks now.
Okay.
And I'm just praying for it to come back to normal.
Okay. Let me just pray for you. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother Dave. He's a godly man. He loves You, and he needs His ear. Lord, You said that we're to ask, and it'll be given. So we're praying for Dave's ear to be restored and healed up. We pray, Lord, that he can hear spiritually today as well as physically. Mm. Lord, help us all to hear what the Spirit is saying today. Yeah. I pray, Father, for our sister's family, Carrie and Kim and Brian, for the grandkids, for Richard, for the whole Truby family. I pray, Lord, that You'd bring comfort to them, mm-hmm. that, Lord, You would direct their steps in this awkward time. With all the planning and all the things that need to be done, I pray that You would do that. Lord, help us here this morning to hear what Jesus is saying to His disciples. I pray that today's message would catch our hearts, that we'd become more and more like Him. Lord, would You do Your work in our church? Help us to be on mission. Lord, I want to pray for us as a church that we would exemplify a light in this world, that we would be communicating good words to people about Jesus, that, Lord, we would see people coming to faith in Christ, that we would be having baptisms, that this church would would be a place where people come to be transformed and experience Jesus' life and his love, and that we could see him leading us as well. Mm-hmm. I pray, Lord, that you show up here today. May we experience you like like we would long to have you in our presence. Indeed, you're here. You said you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. Lord, may we experience your presence now in a very powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, my friend. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we are in John 17, and we're talking about today's living out his legacy. Jesus had a legacy. In fact, everyone's life has a message, not a message of words, but a message of life. It's the message, listen, that lingers after you're gone. It's the one you're remembered by. We call it a legacy. Now, church, suppose that you knew that your life would end tomorrow. It's going to be gone tomorrow. What message would you leave? What message would you leave? And this is the circumstance in which we find Jesus in John 17. It's his high priestly prayer. We call it the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. But it closes up the upper room discourse. And you'll recall, as we started out the discourse, how Jesus introduces us, how John, I'm sorry, introduces us to Jesus' kind of farewell teaching there in that upper room. John says in chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, he says, Jesus knew, what did he know? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Part of the legacy that Jesus wanted to leave was that he loved his disciples, so he wanted to show him the fullness of his love. And he went on with that upper room discourse. And returning to prayer at the end in chapter 17, our Lord now reviews his life to the Father. It's like he's praying, but the disciples are listening in, and he's reviewing his life that he lived for the Father. 33 years of ministry on earth. He's reviewing his life. And they included the silent years, those 30-some years that he grew in pretty much obscurity, his 3.5 years of action-packed ministry where he cast out demons, where he healed the sick, where he held the attention of thousands for hours on end. I wish I had that ability. And as you read these words, you get to listen in on Jesus' own appraisal of his life, which constitutes the greatest life that was ever lived. These 33.5 years of life can be summed up in these five verses with three tremendous statements. Three statements. Let's take a look at those, verses 4 through 8. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Shall we pray? What a review of life. Lord, help us be mindful of the life we're living and the legacy that we're going to leave. And may it be such that it makes a dent in history for you, that our lives have an impact because we're listening to you, we're following you, and we're obeying you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit now would grab our attention and drive home these truths. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, because Jesus came from the Father, he says, I've come from the Father, and he's returning to the Father. He's reviewing and he's saying that he accomplished a work that glorifies, that's in verses 4 and 5. He says, I brought you glory in earth, how? By finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had when? Before the world began. Have to ask yourself, how did Jesus bring glory to the Father? He brought glory to the Father, how? By making disciples, teaching them all the things that the Father wanted Jesus to teach them. He did miracles. He was encouraging people. He loved people. He did healings. He even raised people from the dead. Tremendous number of works, works of mercy, the cross, even silent years that we don't know anything about. And verse 5 is really key to understanding. Before the world began, no other lips, church, could utter those words. No one else can look back before the dawn of time. Before the world began, I brought you glory past and on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. He finished it. In other words, he was obedient to his Father from the beginning to the very end. And now Jesus is asking to be restored to his former glory. Church, do you understand that we see here the deity of Jesus Christ? He's claiming that he's God. The deity of Jesus. He's God. How do we know that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 42, God is revealing there, verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, that's my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. No one else shares God's glory, and yet here Jesus is saying, I want that glory that I had with you. He shared the Father's glory. And God says, I don't share it with anyone else. So the Father and the Son are one. Here's the one who shared the Father's glory. Now, it'd be interesting to consider Jesus in his former glory. But that's not the point here. You know, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? Understanding who Jesus was, I imagine you go back in eternity and the Godhead is saying, we need to create something before the foundation of the world. We are going to create this world. And the Bible says that it's his finger work that puts the stars into the heavens. And he creates all the animals, and he creates the light and the darkness, and he looks at that whole thing and he says it's good. And yet the creation had a problem. It was plagued with this thing called sin. Reaching the end of his life now, he's ready to resume that glory. He wants the glory that he had before the world began. Now the Apostle Paul gives us a little insight into that in what we call, Jack, the kenosis passage. What does that mean? Kenosis is a Greek word for the emptying himself. Philippians chapter 2. You guys have heard this. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. He starts off, he says, in your relationships with one another, here's how you're supposed to act in the church. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself out by taking the very nature of a servant. Who was he? He was God. What did he do? He emptied himself, right? Taking on the very nature of a servant. How was he a servant in John 13? He took off his outer robe. He wraps a towel around his waist, and he stoops down, and he washes his disciples' feet. That's the kind of servant. But even more, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And not just any death. We all get to experience death. But the kind of death that Jesus submitted himself to was the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the end of his life, he says, I remember the glory that I had with you, Father, before the world began. And now return to me that glory. And with this, Jesus is pointing out something. Listen, church, the work that glorifies is essentially one of self-emptying. A self-emptied life. That glorifies God. It's the picture of the gospel. Didn't Jesus say, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to do something? You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That really speaks of a self-emptying life. It's no longer about you. It's all about him. You're going to take your cross and follow him into life. A cross is a picture of how I'm dying to self. And it takes a long time, right? I keep trying to die to self every day. In fact, Paul says, I die daily. Sometimes I forget to die. But we all need to die to self daily if he's going to be Lord of our lives. It's a self-emptying life. We're often confused about this, thinking that God is interested in our activity, all of our religious efforts, our attendance at church, Bible reading, praying. Oh, all of this, God's going to be happy with that. It's kind of mechanical. That's why some people drag themselves to church. Oh, God's going to be happy to me if I come to church, or we give to missionary work. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. After my mom got saved, she started dragging me to church, Elizabeth. Every Sunday. I didn't want to go to church. She dragged me to church, drugged me to church. I'm so glad she did. Because there I got to see people who had life. They were experiencing life that I longed for. And it's like, how is it that those people are happy? How is it that those people are just joyful people? I want to be like that. And it got me thinking and asking, and one day I had an opportunity to confess my sin and realize the situation I was in, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Some of you had a drug problem like that too. And others of you, the Father just drags you to the Savior. No one comes to him, he says, unless they're drawn by the Father. And some of us, boy, it's a big drawing, kicking and screaming. Listen, church, it's not what did Jesus do, as if we're supposed to go out and do all the stuff that he did, but it's that he had a heart ready to obey, ears to hear, and a will subject to the Father, and he's always available to the Father. If you think about it, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he comes up out of the water, and there's a voice that says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." Now, how many people had Jesus baptized at that point? How many miracles had he done? How many loaves had he turned into food for thousands, right? How many demons had he cast out? He didn't do anything. But here is a son who's obedient to the Father, and he knew when his ministry was supposed to begin and how he was going to carry out that ministry, because he had ears to listen to the Father's leading and guiding. He's available to the Father. He serves the Father. And when he kneels down and he cleans the disciples' feet, he's serving his Father who called him to be his servant. "This is my son whom I love." Not for what he's done, it's for who he is. Listen, church, let us not talk about living to the glory of God while our own lives are filled with self-centeredness and selfishness, instead of being centered on him. Let's not talk about living to the glory of God while we only will the Father's will when it matches our own will. Oh yeah, I'm going to do God's will. Only when God's will is what I want to do. Let's not talk about living to the glory of God when we cling to the right to run our own lives and dictate our own happiness. Yeah, I'm living to the glory of God as long as I can have it on my terms. Go where I want, do what I want, and cover it over with religious talk. Listen, those who truly have seen the glory of God in an obedient heart never talk about sacrifice or what they gave up, only of their great privilege and gain. People who have seen God's glory, they never talk about, "Oh, I had to give up this and that in order to follow Jesus. You should feel sorry for me," or something. I think pathetic. What we deserve is hell. The wages of sin is death. That's what it is. That's what we deserve. We only get heaven by grace. Turn, if you would. Let's see how a self-righteous Pharisee thought about this. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul saw the glory of Christ. And he says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." I want to know Christ, he says, and make him known. We get so proud of what we've had to sacrifice. It's pathetic. When we gain so much in him, what we give up is nothing. So now we see, as Jesus is talking to the Father, he puts his finger on the very thing that glorifies God, a life of self-giving love, emptying of self. It's a life that's full of God. And by the way, if you're full of God, you're going to be full of love. Why do I say that? We aren't going to be baptized in pickle juice, Penny. If you're full of God, you're going to be full of love. Why? Because the definition of God is, who said that? God is love. You know, there are three places in the New Testament that tell us what God is. Do you know them? God is love. God is, Yeah, he is good. We say that. Yeah, no. God is light. We learned that in 1 John. What else? God is... What was?
Life.
Yes, in him was life. No. The third one? Come on. This is Bible trivia. 101. God is love. God is light. God is truth. Thank you. Thank you. Who got that? Give her a score, a point. God is truth. He's the truth, light and truth, and love. That's it. Okay. Next in verse 6, Jesus reveals the second thing marking his life. Here it is. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have what? They've done something. They have obeyed your word. They have obeyed your word. There's a little interesting footnote there. When he says, I have revealed you, in the Greek, it really is, I revealed your name. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But really, what John is saying and what Jesus says there, I've revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. And the result is they've obeyed. There's a relationship there. Revealing the name. And they've obeyed. Because Jesus came from the Father, he revealed a name that transforms. His name transforms. Ignorance of what we ought to do is seldom our problem, church. It's our will. Often our wills are paralyzed. We want to, how many have felt this way? I really want to stop doing that, or I really want to do that, but I just can't seem to do it. And the answer is to understand and act on what God is willing to be to us. See, he's given us a name. And a name stands for the total character and reserves of an individual. Now, sometimes people treat the name like it's a magic rabbit's foot, right? Spiritual rabbit's foot, to be sure. We're going to pray this in Jesus' name, right? In Jesus' name. It's like if I add that, quote, name of Jesus there, then hallelujah, it's done. Done deal. But we don't understand always that the name represents the totality of the person. It represents their authority. It represents their resources. It represents their character. For instance, if I go down to the bank and I sign a loan for a new Chevy truck, because I like those. I sign my name to the contract, right? And what I have done is I've pledged all of my life and resources, my bank account, whatever I have, as a guarantee on that loan. You see that? My name. And Jesus reveals a name now that transforms life. He has given to us the Father's resources. We have God's name on it. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. We have his name. He's going to stand behind it. It's like God is signing his name to it so that we'd realize that what a tremendous unending resource we have in God. We have a resource in him. Right? Has God not had enough resources for you? Is his arm too short that he can't save you? Is his grace limited so that he cannot forgive you? Everything that God is, he's infinite and he is to us. He has a name that transforms us. Oh, man, we struggle with our faith, and yet oftentimes we're sabotaging our efforts. How? By refusing to really believe God is what he says. It's amazing how we'll believe Satan over God in so many things. You know, I can't do that. God calls us to some work. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, it reminds me of Moses, right? Remember the story of Moses? God says to Moses, hey, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to, you know, lead my people out of Egypt into the land I'm going to show you. Moses says, I can't do that. I don't speak too well. God says, hey, don't I know that? I'm the one that created the mouth in the first place. I can give you words. I can give you an ability. Everything you need, I'm going to supply you with, right? Moses does do that. He does act by faith eventually. God has to give him his brother to come along and help him out, but still, Moses didn't lack anything because he walked with God. God's name supplied it. God is faithful. The whole work of Christ shows us the faithfulness of God. And here on that final night, Jesus is not anxious. He's not troubled. He's not disturbed by persecution. He rested in God, and so can we. Let me have you turn a couple places in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Some of you know this verse. We struggle with temptations, and we think, oh, there's no way I can do this. It's just temptation. It's too bad. And we're told, no temptation has overtaken you, Tony. I just pick on you today. No temptation has overtaken you or me. We don't have any excuses except what's common to mankind. Everybody deals with these things. And God is what? He's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. We don't have an excuse to say, oh, I was tempted and I just can't bear up under it. God says, you're not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he, God, will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Right? When we believe God is who he says he is, we have to begin to act accordingly and trust him. The Satan says, oh, no, you know, you've always failed on that. You're never going to get over that. Once a sinner, always a sinner. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 and 9. Here's an interesting couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for your Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He's coming back. And in the meantime, we don't lack any spiritual gift. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into what? Active duty. No, God is faithful, has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus reveals a name that transforms lives, and when we begin to live accordingly, it changes us. Jesus was not concerned with what was going to take place the following day because he discovered the truth of Proverbs 18:10 that says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. Who runs into it and are safe? The righteous. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now, a third thing characterized Jesus' life. We find that in verses 7 and 8. John 17, verse 7 says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. He spoke words that gripped lives. You have to ask yourself, what made these Jewish men who were mortally afraid of idolatry to believe that Jesus Christ was God? They're mortally afraid of idolatry. In that day, if you claimed that you were God, you could be stoned. If you worshiped other gods in the country, that was a capital offense. They're not going to do that. It's legislated on the outside in. Everybody was kind of really careful of that. But to claim that Jesus was God and believe that, how did that happen? How was it that John was able to write, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God"? How did John learn that? Was it the miracles that Jesus did? His miracles only convinced people of his messiahship. Was it his power over mankind? He knew them like no one else knew, and no one had to tell Jesus about humans. No, even evil men exercise power. They know things. It had to be his words. The words of Jesus gripped their hearts. It opened their eyes and it dispelled doubt. It set their lives on fire. Remember the two on the way to, Emmaus. The two on the road to Emmaus. And they're talking with Jesus along the way, and they don't know who he is, don't they? They don't know who he is. It was the day of the resurrection. And they get there, and they have a meal, and Jesus breaks bread, and they open their eyes, and they think, oh, this was Jesus. We have to go back and tell the others. Why? Did our hearts not burn like fire when we were with him? What's Jesus doing? He's speaking the truth to them. He's revealing God's word to them, showing in all of the law and the prophets how these were speaking of him. Words transform us. Jesus' words grip our lives. Words. The words of Jesus have power today, church. Are you troubled by doubts in your faith? Let me suggest something. Take Jesus' words seriously. When you're reading the Bible, it's not just a novel. This is God speaking to you. When reading the Bible, take his words seriously. You won't get very far before discovering so much understanding of life and experience. It's like you know that this is the truth. In fact, Jesus says, hey, if you're willing to obey, you'll know that my words are true. Did you know that many disciples had difficulty with Jesus' words? They did. Take a look at John chapter 6, verses 60 and following. He's speaking words of truth and life. On hearing that, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, hey boys, does this offend you? And what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before, where he's sharing God's glory? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, what are they? They are full of the Spirit and life. That's what they are. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So Jesus turns to the 12 and asks, you do not want to leave too, do you? And Simon Peter answers him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You. It's like, you alone have something. You alone have the words of life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. The words of Jesus have power. In summary, let me share three things that Jesus did. Number one, he gave himself in a self-emptying ministry. It wasn't all about Jesus. It was Father living his life through him. Secondly, his life revealed an all-empowering name by which anything that needs to be done can be done. How do we do it? It's in the name that we're given. Number three, he spoke words that awake faith in men's hearts, causing them to believe. It's his words. His words are spirit and their life. Now tell me, church, where did you get your Christian life? Did you have it when you were born? No. You got it when you believed. It came from God when you believe. It came from heaven. You were born from above. And what happens to your life when you die? The Bible says absent from the body is present with the Lord. Your life came from God and will return to God. Your life came from God. It'll return to God. Or as John says in his epistle, chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Now this is the testimony. God has given us what? Eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? So that you know that you have eternal life. This life comes from God. It returns from God. Now listen up. What are we going to do in between? How do we live a legacy today that glorifies God? Number one, we can live a life that glorifies him by self-emptying ourselves so that he can have all of us. Number two, we can reveal a name that transforms. We're living according to his grace. It transforms us. And thirdly, we can speak words that grip people, bringing all to an understanding of their need for an all-sufficient Savior. A name that transforms. Okay. Do you have some questions today? Questions. Comments? Yeah.
So they're talking about your name. Mm-hmm. Are they talking about Yahweh?
That's exactly the name. Yes. Yeah.
And they were.
Yeah. In fact, the Jews, when they translated, when they wrote down the scriptures, they would actually change their pen. They would wash their hands. They would put on a new garment in order to write the holy name of God. Now, it's almost more like they're worshiping the name than actually worshiping God, okay? It's the name. And when we read in Acts that there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved, that's the name they're talking about. To every Jew understood that there's only one name that's above every name. It's Yahweh. Who is it? It's Jesus. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Yeah, that name. And he's promised to be with you and in you so that you can accomplish everything he's called us to do. Pretty exciting, huh? What do you want to do for Jesus? What would you accomplish for Jesus if you knew you couldn't fail? He's going to return.
Help someone
else. Yes, we're going to help people in Jesus' name. I've been noticing our bins coming back. They're filling up. Thank you. We're going to provide food for people in Jesus' name. We're going to love people in Jesus' name. We're going to share the good news of Jesus in his name. right? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Three individuals, all one, Christian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Would anyone like to receive Jesus today? There's no better day. Today is the day of salvation. You want to receive Christ. God has life from you, for you from heaven that you can have today. And it's as simple as ABC. It's not magic. It's simply believing what he said. We admit, A, we admit that we're sinners, that we're separated from God, that our sins have separated us from him, and we need a Savior to do that. Secondly, B stands for believe. We need to really believe him, not just sort of believe him or hope that what he said was true, but really believe, right? We take his words to the bank. And thirdly, C, ABC, C, we commit ourselves to following him. We empty ourselves like Jesus emptied himself for us. We empty ourselves for him and follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my desire is that I'd leave something of a legacy for you here in this world. I think that's all of our desire. Lord, help us to trust you. You've called us to do many great works. You said that we would do greater things because you're going to the Father. Now, Lord, I pray that you empower us, equip us, direct us, grant us courage and boldness like you did the disciples, that we might go out and make a dent in history for you here, proclaiming the name of Jesus, a name that transforms. And Lord, show yourself powerful and faithful as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got a song to sing, and then we'll be on our way. Don't forget, if you're part of the craft fair this coming weekend, we're going to have a little meeting afterwards.
Will you stand with me?
Every now and then I tell Alan, man, that song goes so good with my message. And here's another example. Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust to trust and obey.
All right. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessings on you, church. Have a great week. Why don't you just go on home? I'll get a ride home. You need.